Is there a health conspiracy? You can bet your bottom dollar. Genetically modified food, poison in your tap water, toxic, tainted, and abused meat and dairy. Ingredients of mass destruction, poisonous pesticides and herbicides, deep psychological propaganda, food that makes your children go crazy. Do you think the FDA is meant to protect you? And just what in the world are they spraying in the skies? You have been a victim of mass programming, but it's never too late. Learn how to successfully make changes that last, leading you to a new life of health and vibrancy that most will never experience. Over the next hour, allow Nick Brannigan to share with you his research, expertise, and life experience. This is Health Conspiracy Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Health Conspiracy Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Nick Brannigan. You are listening to us either on iTunes or healthconspiracy.com or on the Blog Talk Radio channel. Either or, it's all the same. And this afternoon, on our National News Radio show, you'll get to hear me interview Liam Sheff, talk about some very interesting topics, including sex and marriage, which is really off-topic for Health Conspiracy Radio. But he's writing a new book and novel on the topic, and we get into that a little bit. So please check that out. That's going to air on naturalnewsradio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then immediately the archive will be available on healthconspiracy.com. So I encourage everyone to check that out. And one way you can support Health Conspiracy Radio is by supporting our friends at Vegas Valley Organics. Check them out at GetVeggies.com and sign up for the Las Vegas' only USDA-certified organic fruits and vegetables, certified organic CSA programs, bringing you the best fruits and vegetables to the Las Vegas Valley area. And, of course, my friend, Dr. Soumya Sridharan from LasVegasHomeopathy.com. Check her out if you want to get healthy and get cured of your ailments through homeopathic medicine and through real nutrition. Most doctors won't know jack about nutrition, but when it comes to Dr. Soumya Sridharan, she's definitely the one to go to get better through nutrition and her homeopathic medicine and just her well-being. All right, so on to today's headlines. Let's start off with kind of a silly headline. McDonald's desperate attempt to accept your selfies as payments, or desperate McDonald's to attempt your selfies as payments. This is from the antimedia.org. McDonald's is desperately scrambling after a 15% decline in sales in 2014. Just last week, the McDonald's board of directors announced that Don Thompson will be stepping down as CEO of the global fast food chain and will be replaced by the corporation's current chief brand officer. Now, they have another announcement that Ronald McDonald and the company believe will help combat the waning financial productivity of the restaurant that gave us the Big Mac with a side of heart disease. During the Super Bowl, McDonald's plans on announcing a new program that reeks of pathetic hopelessness. From February 2nd to February 14th, customers can pay with lovin'. Patrons who bravely venture through the Golden Arches will be randomly chosen to pay for their order with a selfie, high five, fist bump, or fist pump, or some other ridiculous gesture that your insecure ex in high school who was clamoring for the slightest bit of attention after you broke up with them would read way too much into. What McDonald's fails to realize is that people have wised up. This isn't a marketing or a price issue. that semi-digestible refuse is cheap enough already. No one wants to eat that crap anymore. The general population has woken up and decided that they love not having diabetes more than they do eating a McRib. Ronald, it's over between us, bro. We've moved on, and it's time to accept you do accept that, and you do the same. Giving away for free isn't going to get us back. You're just embarrassing yourselves. That's really a fair assessment of McDonald's. It does seem like a desperate marketing attempt. The funny part is, and this is why I'll never have Google AdSense on my website. McDonald's free coupons are plastered all over the anti-media website, even though they're talking bad about McDonald's. I noticed this too. You know, Blog Talk Radio is just an outlet to really get the show to a higher reach, primarily using them for their online studio, which is the easiest way with my dinosaur Windows system to be able to record interviews with guests. But every time I've gone to my actual page, not from the logged in standpoint, but just from any internet surfer would see, it's always some crappy food being advertised. They've had Doritos and Pepsi and Pillsbury dough shite and some other stuff too. So I think what I'm going to start doing is keeping track of the crappy products that is being promoted on my Blog Talk Radio page, which I pay for, by the way. And I'm going to just start dogging them. And another thing I'm doing too, I don't know if I said this on the show, is I somehow my email, one of my email addresses got on a list where PR agencies that represent some sort of food product has access to my email address or whatever. I'm on some list, and they always email me. It's always completely impersonal, copy and pasted garbage, but it's always products that are completely and contrary to the values that of, you know, Health Conspiracy Radio. So what I will begin to do is give a nice, honest assessment of these products. So if you send me something that's not organic or contains the product, the excretions of tortured animals, expect a review on Health Conspiracy Radio, and I will reply to the email and link back and say, yo, not having it, not feeling it, quit sending me this stuff. And, you know, my empathetic side goes out to these companies that just want to get their product out there, that hired a PR firm that is completely impersonal when reaching out to radio hosts or bloggers. But at the other end of it, you got to do your research on who you're bringing into the fold to help get the word out on whatever it is that you do, or get your product out to the masses, or however you want to look at it. Let's really switch gears here. Let's talk about yoga. You know, I like to say I do yoga, but it's been at least a month. I don't think I've done yoga this year. Basically, when I redid my schedule earlier in the year, yoga was something that was put on there as optional on my day-to-day routine. And I don't like the fact that I haven't done it in over a month. I have been consistently going to the gym. Only twice a week, but very intense workouts. But this article is posted on naturalnews.com by Lance Johnson. 5 ways yoga is changing my life from a male's perspective. Not long ago, I thought yoga was for girls. Striking an awkward pose on a mat looked geeky, something a big 6'6" competitive guy like me would have nothing in common with. When my wife bought a yoga mat and an instructional DVD and tried to follow along at home, it all looked even more boring. Was I missing something? The mat went in the closet. Still something about it I wanted. I wanted the flexibility, the ease of motion these yogis displayed so fluently. Throughout my late teens, I grew quickly. Somehow my satika, I'm pronouncing that wrong, S-C-I-A-T-I-C-A. Email me at radio@healthconspiracy.com on how to pronounce that. Make sure you're really douche about it, too. But that nerve was pinched during the growth spurts. If I sat too long, the pain became sharp, shooting down my legs. Over time, my quads tensed up to bear the pain. To relax while sitting, my muscles learned to automatically tense up. In my 20s, I made some dietary changes to bring the inflammation down, eliminating inflammatory dairy products and welcoming in anti-inflammatory spices like turmeric. Even though the pain has subsided, the tenseness remained, restricting my flexibility and range of movement. Honoring where I am. At just the right time, my wife and I met a friend who happened to teach yoga locally. We went to one of her classes. I quickly found out the best way to start learning yoga is to do it live with the teacher right in front of you. The teacher made it look so easy. Being the competitive guy that I was, I fought the stretch as far as I could. I quickly learned my limitations, and instead of competing, I learned to honor where my body was. Instead of straining, I learned to start slow, work with my breath, and inch my way forward into those first yoga sessions. My mind became aware of my body movements, why I was tense in certain areas. I had to then make a decision to change or stay the same. Making mind-body connections. My decision to change led me to make conscious mind-body connections. After yoga at night, when I went to relax and sleep, my mind became aware of my muscle contractions in my legs. I could literally feel my spine and hips waking up. I practiced a relaxing, circular, low spinal movement at night and became aware of my body automatically became tense from past learned pain response. Weeks later, my mind altered me to the unconscious retracting of my bones that moved inward around my buttocks just before I went to sleep. They would tense up in response to pain I used to feel. I learned to consciously shift these bones back out, telling my lower body to relax, telling myself the pain is gone. It's these interesting mind-body connections that are beginning to increase the quality of my relaxing state, opening up pathways for healing energy where I once learned to be tense. Conscious control of my breathing. The next lesson I've learned is to how to consciously control my breathing. Yoga is excellent for restoring one's breathing, bringing more oxygen to the blood and brain. Whilst being non-competitive on the yoga mat, I learned to use yoga's principles of deep breathing while playing competitive sports. When I'm out of breath on the playing field, I now know how to find my center and regain control over my breathing. This now allows me to regain a tremendous amount of focus in the most crucial moments of playing any competitive sport. Enhancing sleep and relaxing quality. I also applied the breathing techniques in my sleep. I learned how to match my breathing with the rhythm of the rest of my body right before and during sleep. This allowed me to breathe strongly through my nose and upper sinuses. Instead of relying on just my mouth to breathe, my wife started noticing less snoring and I had less throat hack in the morning. Becoming one. Even though I had a long way to go before I could stretch and move like the more advanced yogis, I found incredible personal growth regardless. I am now thankful for that. After every yoga session, I truly do feel a sense of inner calm. Not only does practicing yoga take your mind off the pressures of life, but it also puts you back in the moment. As you become one with your inner spirit, I highly recommend that all men give it a try. You may just get addicted to the infinite challenges that yoga has to offer. I don't really have nothing more to say than, yeah, I do need to get back into yoga. And he did point out that doing it with an instructor was the way to go. And I had a conversation with someone recently saying it's actually much harder to do yoga inside of your house on your own versus being in front of an instructor. Because there you really have to focus. They really will hone you into the present moment. As opposed to doing it like me, I do the basic sun salutations because I just know how to do them, but it's easy for the mind to wander. And once in a while, I'll say, oh, crap, am I stepping up with my left leg or my right leg? I don't know. So that's just reminding me I do definitely need to stop procrastinating and get back into doing yoga at least 3 times a week and eventually get on to every day and maybe sooner or later do it with an instructor. But only time she'll tell. That's the route that I take. You can tell I'm a little tired right now. I'm doing this radio at all odd times. But we're going to shift gears again. We're going to talk a little MSG. No, not Madison Square Garden. Monosodium glutamate. Again, on naturalnews.com by Joel Edwards. The truth about MSG and its addictive neurotoxic side effects. MSG, or monosodium glutamate, is a food additive found in nearly every processed food, and you may not realize it due to many, many names. Monosodium glutamate escaped extensive testing because it was derived from an amino acid, glutamate, one of the building blocks of protein. There are 20 such amino acids, many of which our bodies can produce on their own, while some of them our bodies cannot. The majority of MSG in the American diet is not of natural origin. The majority of MSG that Americans consume is added to processed foods or created as a byproduct of the processing itself. It is also found in much of the food that is served in restaurants. The amount of MSG is particularly high in low-fat foods, canned goods, soups, and gravies. How much is too much MSG? Our research and experience recommends that all MSG that is not of natural origin be avoided. How bad is MSG? MSG-sensitive individuals can experience these symptoms within an hour of consuming only 3 grams. And these side effects include stomach cramps, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, migraine headaches, heart palpitations, rapid heartbeat, sharp rise in blood pressure, rapid drop in blood pressure, blurred vision, joint pain, stiffness in joints, achiness all over the body, dizziness and loss of balance, lightheaded, depression, frequent need to urinate, a numbing or burning sensation in the mouth, swelling of the face, pain or tightness in the chest, shortness of breath. Wow, sounds like MSG is the side effects are like the end of a pharmaceutical commercial. In studies with lab animals, research has conclusively confirmed that consuming high doses of MSG causes lesions in the hypothalamus. Young animals that were fed diets high in MSG showed numerous health problems like obesity, malformed organs, abnormal reproductive systems, infertility, unprovoked rage, overt aggression, antisocial behavior, impaired cardiovascular responsiveness, and high triglycerides, cholesterol, and VLDL. I don't know what that is. What is VLDL? Let's look that up. Many of these animals showed signs of impaired immune system. MSG also forces the pancreas to release insulin. This causes the blood sugar to drop and typically makes one very hungry. This is why it is commonplace for individuals to become hungry only after hours or so of consuming food high in MSG. And I used to notice that with like fast food, like McDonald's or Panda Express. You would eat it, then you'd be stuffed. You'd be completely full. Oh, enough food, no more than an hour later you'd be hungry. So that could be in part the side effect of MSG. I think it has to do too with, you know, not getting food with nutritional value to where the body may still associate calories with nutrition. So you get way so many calories and the body says, hey, there's no nutrition in these calories, puts out the hunger signals to get more food. Okay, so VLDL is very low density lipoprotein, a form of cholesterol, it looks like. It's considered the bad type of cholesterol. All right. So what the food industries do not want you to know. Although the FDA requires that the ingredient monosodium glutamate be listed on your food labels, it does not require ingredients that contain MSG to be listed as MSG. If we are to avoid MSG, we must avoid the following ingredients as well. The food industry does not want you to know about these ingredients. MSG does not change the actual taste of food the way substances that are sweet, salty, bitter, or sour do. Instead, it alters the taste of food by stimulating the sensation of taste. It is added to foods in hope that consumers will become addicted. And it is added to foods in many different ways, listed as many different ingredients, in the hope that we will not take the effort to learn its many names. Neuroscientists overwhelmingly agree that MSG is toxic. It kills neurons by exciting them until the neurons die. MSG is an excitotoxin, so it is toxic for everyone, and some more than others. Newborns are 4 times more sensitive to MSG than adults, and individuals with Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, or multiple sclerosis are more sensitive than people without neurodegenerative diseases. I worked with a guy with MS. And whenever he had fast food, man, this guy was a cranky bastard. Without fail, if he was eating McDonald's or KFC or whatever it is, we kind of made the association. Uh-oh, Patrick's eating some fast food. He's going to be on the radio tonight. He's going to be cranky and irritable and rude. And without fail, it was the case every time. So even though I thought he was an a-hole at the time, now my empathy goes towards him for not knowing he was eating poison that was really screwing with the response that his MS was causing him to have to this. So continuing with the article, anyone who is sick and trying to heal naturopathically, which incidentally is the only way to actually heal, or homeopathically, I would say, will have to stop eating MSG. Any parent with a child who exhibits behavior problems needs to find those hidden sources of MSG in their child's diet and get their kid off of MSG and every other additive. You'll see a difference in 2 weeks or less. The bottom line is this. Do you want to eat a food additive that kills your brain cells in addition to doing other damage throughout your body? Do you want to feed it to your child ever for any reason? The FDA assures us that MSG is safe, but a neurotoxin in any amount is never fit for human consumption. To detoxify from MSG and everything else, see this inexpensive and easy detox, which is available at OrganicLifestyleMagazine.com. Of course, the article I'm reading will be up in the show notes, and then if you want to look at that detox, the link is at the bottom. MSG goes by many different names. See MSG's many effects and aliases for more information. And I will I'll link that one up. Because one of them I know is yeast extract, which shows up in a lot of good, organic, or not really organic, but I'll say non-GMO project verified foods. So people see that logo, hey, it's non-GMO project verified. That's awesome. We can eat this. When it's not organic, could contain some pesticides and other nasty ingredients that you may not otherwise want. And even organic can have some bad ingredients sometimes. But that's really what it's about more than anything. You know, eating food with the logo of non-GMO project verified, that's a good start. USDA organic logo, that's really good as well. But at the end of the day, nothing beats knowing ingredients. And this is why, you know, I said this on the show once, I'll say it a million more times, is why it bothers me sometimes that people consider me, you know, especially locally in Las Vegas, an expert on knowing how to avoid GMOs when I'm not doing anything that no one else is capable of doing. We're all capable of learning labels and learning where ingredients come from. You know, my genius research, I say this sarcastically, my genius research method of research, rather, in learning what were GMOs and what weren't was by, instant before smartphones, looking at an ingredient, not knowing what it was, writing it down, going home and looking it up on Wikipedia. Now, I know Wikipedia is not the best source for everything, but when it comes to telling you the original plant or chemical that an ingredient is derived from, it's good for that. So someone willing to do that is considered an expert. I don't think so. I think we all have that capability of researching ingredients on our own. So this next article is kind of hitting close to home. From the globalhealingcenter.com, Dr. Edward G. Group's blog. I recently subscribed to this email newsletter, so I recommend everyone do that. He has some great products out there. I used the Nascent Iodine that they sell at InfoWars. I used the OxyPad. It really didn't work for me, but it may work for you or someone else. But four harmful effects of caffeine. Now, longtime listeners of the show know that I have this relationship with caffeine. It's like a bad ex-girlfriend. You keep going back to her because she makes you feel good in the moment, but you end up feeling bad later on. So I have committed to giving up coffee completely this year. Maybe not caffeine. I do drink green tea. I could just switch over to herbal tea. But the difference between coffee and the green tea for me is I never feel bad after drinking green tea. I never feel like, oh, I really want a green tea right now. But I do feel like that with coffee. And I'm really looking at my coffee habit right now as more of a drug habit, to be completely transparent right now. And I want to wean myself off of it over the next 5 to 6 months. But one way or another, before 2015 is up, there'll be no more coffee in my diet, no more cane sugar. Maybe with a few exceptions, like the occasional organic ketchup or organic barbecue sauce, but those are rare. And no more chips, except homemade chips without the use of refined oils. And a lot of times I see articles from health websites or health blogs saying, hey, coffee's good for these reasons. But you know what all those articles are? Without exception, every last one of them are people justifying their drug habit, people justifying their drug addiction to caffeine. You know, I'll read this article, and it gives a little bit about how caffeine may have some health benefits, but overall, nobody needs coffee in their life. If you can drink it and enjoy it and not feel that addiction to it, I think that's okay. For me, there's really no middle ground. Either I'm addicted or I'm off of it, and I'm choosing to be off of it. But again, globalhealingcenter.com, four harmful effects of caffeine. Whether you consume tea, coffee, soda, energy drinks, or chocolate, you're consuming some form of caffeine. This post is not meant to demonize caffeine altogether. In fact, at small amounts, caffeine has certain health benefits. It's the excess use of caffeine that is an issue. As this compound is highly addictive, caffeine doesn't even provide true energy, it is merely a stimulant. Still, there are many who rely on it every day to get them going. Are you one of those people? Listen up during this post to find out how caffeine dependency can affect your body and mind. The effects of caffeine. Caffeine affects the body on three levels. Caffeine affects regions of the brain associated with addiction, creating dependency on the substance for an artificial state of energy. Caffeine infects the entire body with dehydration, and it impairs the digestive system in a number of ways. Caffeine has an especially negative impact on the digestive system. At the root of caffeine addiction is physiological dependency that forms within the brain. This is more than a psychological addiction. Caffeine actually makes the brain not only want it, but it makes the brain want it more and more. Here are a few side effects that go along with caffeine. Caffeine and dependency. Caffeine suppresses a chemical called adenosine, which is secreted by the brain to relax the body. Suppression of this compound by caffeine affects the body by making it feel a tense surge of energy. While this surge of energy is truly stimulating, the threshold of stimulation continues to rise, making the brain require increasing levels of caffeine to stimulate the same effect. This creates dependency on users who require caffeine on a daily basis to get moving. Caffeine and dehydration. Another negative effect of caffeine is dehydration. Caffeine acts as a natural diuretic, which may be a benefit to individuals dealing with bloating. Coffee and energy drinks are the biggest contributors to dehydration, and despite a high volume of liquid consumption with these beverages, still contribute to dehydration. Dehydrated cells have difficulty absorbing nutrients, and they also have problems eliminating waste. Caffeine and adrenal exhaustion. large amounts of caffeine can lead to adrenal exhaustion precipitated by the rush that creates in the body. Adrenal exhaustion is particularly pronounced in children who are now consuming more caffeine than ever before thanks to soda machines in public schools. The common symptoms of adrenal burnout include irritability, anxiety, trouble sleeping, higher fluctuations, mood swings, and lethargy. Caffeine and digestion. Perhaps the most damaging impact caffeine has on the body occurs in the digestive system. It blocks the absorption of magnesium, a key mineral that is essential to the colon's regulation of normal, healthy bowel movements. Coffee itself compounds the problem by acting as a laxative, causing the bowels to move prior to the absorption of water and mineral nutrients. This reinforces body dehydration and malnourishment. Coffee also increases stomach acid levels, and higher acid levels can cause permanent damage in the intestinal lining. How to reduce caffeine intake. A better way to counter coffee's caffeine effects is to gradually reduce your intake of coffee and soda and begin replacing them with organic white or green tea, which contains minimal caffeine, organic fruit juice, and distilled water. Supplements to help cleanse the colon, rehydrate the cells, and stimulate digestive enzymes are also recommended. That's very interesting. I never knew the issue I was having with caffeine and digestion. So that's I know my digestion needs to improve. I really have trouble eating refined foods. I feel like it stops the work of the week from eating all unrefined foods. But anyway, that actually may motivate me to get off the caffeine quicker than the 5 to 6 months than what I said. Very good article. I appreciate the looking at the right side of it. That's the right way to word it. But anyway, we're going to wrap this show up. Again, check out naturalnewsradio.com or healthconspiracy.com later today for my interview with Liam Sheff. Next week, interview with Vani Hari, the food babe from foodbabe.com, talking about her new book, The Food Babe Way. Again, I'm Nick Brannigan. I appreciate every one of you tuning in to hear me give my perspective on health and wellness, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're broadcasting 5 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/HCRadio and healthconspiracyradio.com and iTunes. Please sign up for our newsletter, which is going out weekly starting this week. And don't forget to bookmark my page at radio.naturalnews.com. And that is it. I will see you next time.